cliffcentral.com. Sipombele is an author, a father, a husband, a former radio personality, and a TV actor. He's been on ETV's Scandal. You may recognize him as one of the characters over there. Who was it? You were Donald? What was the guy's
Donald
name?
Masamo.
Donald, that's right.
Yes.
So how are you, man? It's nice to see you. It's good to meet you. And this is your second book. The second book is the one that you've just put out now. What's Your Problem?
Yes, the second book is coming up. Thank you, man, for having me on your
show. Sure.
This is the first book.
The first book is called Take It From Me.
Yeah, A Man's Perspective.
Now, this is – I'm going to lay all the cards on the table. This is the real reason I wanted to have you in here, because Father's Day, you know, luckily for most of South Africa, only comes once a year.
Yes.
But Father's Day is a very tough time for a lot of people in South Africa, because a lot of people do not have a father figure. They don't have a male role model. Fatherhood is a complicated and sometimes very controversial role for some men to play in society. And you yourself have an interesting story about that, which we'll get to in a moment. But the book is subtitled A Man's Perspective.
Yep.
And sometimes in society today, people are saying men should shut up and we don't need more men's perspectives. So it was brave
That's
of you
true.
To write this.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
What do you think the motivation might be for someone to pick up this book and read it? Because a man's perspective is sometimes the one that they call for the least. I think your book is great, by the way, but it's something that many women might say. It's something many men might even say.
Well, in this instance, many women are saying, you know, the book is good.
Good.
Well, the book is about my love life. Mm-hmm. You know, all these women that I've dated, my cheating games and all the things that I've done to all these women. But again, I'm saying this is what we love and hate about you ladies from a man's perspective. But again, I'm saying to men, actually, guys, we can be better people. We can be better boyfriends. We can be better men. We can be better husband. We can be better fathers, as long as we change our ways and as long as we change the way of doing things.
But Sipho, it's a very brave thing to do, to put out your your own personal affairs. I mean, you know, it's sometimes the advice is to rather keep that stuff to yourself, you know?
I know, but you know what I did? I actually went out to all these women. And I asked for forgiveness. And well, some forgave me, well, others didn't. But I expected some to ask for forgiveness from me as well, because I was hurt, you know, because I think at some point women think that we don't get hurt. You know, we just move to this woman from this one to this one. But the biggest challenge was when I presented the book to my wife. I'm married now. And I presented the book to my wife, and there was Quadessa 5 in the house. I had to explain now who's Martha, who's Maria,
yeah.
and all those things. So, it was kind of a brave move from my side.
Very.
Yeah. But again, I'm saying people should learn from my experiences. Men should learn from my experiences. Maybe to never repeat what I've done. Because just to tell you, Gareth, you know, cheating, it's a lot of work. You need to remember all these lies. You need to remember, who did I last WhatsApp? Who was the last woman that I talked to?
Mm. And then you send the wrong WhatsApp.
And you send the wrong message to the wrong person.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, and then I realized, with actually, I need to tone down. I need to change.
What made you change, though? Because it can also be a really fun and exciting life. I mean, let's not lie to each other. Yeah, you said it already.
Yes.
There are things about women, they don't even know they have such power over us sometimes.
Exactly.
A lot of women do, and they use that to their advantage, and good for them. But for a lot of women, they're unaware of how primal and stupid we can be as men, and how easily we can be distracted.
Yeah. You know, when we just read from the Bible, we always criticize Delilah and said, yeah, that woman was horrible. That woman was very wise. He uses her thighs and her hands to brush a man, and then she got everything that she wanted out of Samson.
Right.
But our women, what they do is they hand over their power. The Bible say you must submit. It doesn't say relinquish your power and give it to this man. Because immediately when you do that, I'm going to use that against you. I'm going to be horrible against you. I'm going to abuse you, because now you don't have the power. I have the power, and you have given me your power. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. It was a woman that actually convinced the man that, you know what, let's eat this, you know, and the man listened.
Yeah, but women have been dealing with that story as a way of vilifying them for years, and it's just not fair either.
But they are not using it correctly. They are giving all the powers to us. God gave women so much power and so much strength.
Yeah, but men, we're also very good at just stealing the power. Sometimes the woman doesn't even know that she's got it before we've stolen it out from under her. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
We use force.
Exactly.
We use violence. We use intimidation.
We use money. Yeah.
Absolutely. And sometimes there's just no, you say women must take their power, but in many situations, I think we've got to acknowledge that there isn't even an opportunity for them to seize their own power.
We are living in a country now whereby we're trying to say we're all equal.
Mm.
Why can't they do that? Why can't they?
Yeah, but that's like when white people say, oh, well, what's wrong with black people? It's only 22 years. Come on, figure yourself out now. You know, that's the same thing. There's no kind of understanding of context. Listen, I always have this conversation with my friends. I say, we talk about consensual sex now,
yes,
like it's something that's always existed.
Yeah.
Like you would go home and you'd say to the woman, hey, how about it? And she'd say, I'm not really into it today. And you'd go, okay. That never happened.
No.
Before 1900, and probably even more recently for some people, there was no such thing as consensual sex. Men would get home after a heavy day of battling dragons and rescuing other maidens. And
let's go.
He didn't ask her. He'd just say, I'm here. Let's go.
Yeah. But remember now, this thing. We have rights.
Yeah, but
now
we have to learn respect too, because the way we've always thought of women is so different to the way it should be.
But it's the issue of us having rights, women having rights as well. You know, they're equal to us. So they think that now everything that we need to communicate. Everything that we need to ask for it. Everything that we need as men, we need to consult.
Yeah, and sometimes negotiate.
Negotiate.
And they're better at negotiating than we are.
You negotiate, even negotiate for a kiss, you know. But we seem to forget that actually there's nothing as absolute rights. Our rights are limited.
I want to go back to your story for a second. We can get into the other stuff. But what was the pivotal moment that changed you? Because you were having a good time.
Yes.
You had all these girlfriends, you had cheating going on, you had WhatsApp messages coming in. This one was lined up for Tuesday, this one for Wednesday. So what made you decide, I need to change my ways? I mean, what was the moment that critically...
My divorce. I was married. Beautiful woman. Actually, I used to stay around down the street. The street. Married to this beautiful woman. And
there's still a lot of hookers down the street.
I didn't say that.
I said it. Don't worry.
And then when we broke up and when we were going through the divorce, and then I realized, actually, it was always about me. But I didn't love me. I didn't find out what exactly I want because I was busy with this person, satisfying her needs. I would go everywhere. When she said, let's go to Cape Town, I'm here. Let's go to France. She used to like going to Paris, I'm here. Mm. And then I forgot to live for me. I forgot who Sipho is. Why was I born? What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose on this earth? And then I realized that actually it's not her fault, it's my fault. I didn't love myself too much. I didn't realize what potential I had because I had to stop my life for her. I had to stop doing radio. I had to, I was now in the acting. I was on Mubango. Then I had to stop all those things. And the focus was on her. And then after the divorce, I realized, no. It has to be about me. And then I had to stop with all these women so that I can give attention to me.
You said something earlier that I thought was very, very important. You said, a lot of women think that men don't get hurt, but we actually sometimes hurt the most. We just don't know how to deal with those feelings.
Yes.
And a man who's cheating and a man who has a whole lot of different women in his life is not a powerful, strong man.
No.
Because he's not in control.
No.
And he's hurting. That's exactly why he needs all these plasters.
And this one woman will bring you to your knees. This one woman. Out of all the 10, the 20, to tell you a secret, when we're having fun with my wife, she calls me my thousand because she said I had this thousand women. She calls me my thousand. And, out of all these thousand women, and I'll go like, sure, what is so special about this one?
Mm.
Why after this one, then I had to go back and take a step back and say, what's wrong with me? And then I did that.
All these women, did you ask their permission?
I changed their names, but there's one that I made a mistake. I use her other name, but I ask her that, I made a mistake. I use your middle name in case that you see that the story is similar. Well, you must know that I was talking about you.
And she angry?
And she's married.
Oh.
The sad part is that the husband read the book and they had a little bit of a confrontation, but it was in the past. I mean, it's many years ago.
Yeah, but you see, this is the problem with honesty, yeah?
Yeah, you
decided I'm going to be honest now. I've had enough of this cheating and lying because it's hard work, as you said. It's really difficult to remember every different story that you've lied and, you know, and then you have to tie them up and you get caught.
Exactly.
You eventually get caught. But then when other people are involved, it's even more complicated.
It gets worse because now actually
they almost don't want you to be honest.
Exactly.
They're like, can't you shut up and just live your life?
But I think but they had an understanding that, you know, it was in the past. He was not there.
Yeah.
And nothing horrible happened. It was just a little bit of a relationship. But I'm thinking my second book is worse because I did some stuff while I was married. And now I have to go to my wife and ask for.
Oh, my God. You. What are you doing to yourself? What are you punishing yourself for?
Remember, it's a learning curve. You learn. Every day we learn.
Oh,
in relationships, in marriage, every day we learn. And you are prone to make mistakes whilst you're learning.
So, Sipho, tell me, first of all, have you always been like a ladies' man? Have you always been able to?
Sure.
Is this always a? Because some guys, it starts early. Like you're
at school.
Yeah, I
started very early.
You're at school and the girls just like you and you go, ah, this is a thing I've got.
I was Michael Jackson of the day. Mm. I think I was 12.
Yeah.
You know, in the book, the first, second pages, I'm writing about this girl. We were caught at school. We were about doing standard 5. It's grade 7.
Yeah.
Grade 7. And I was writing a letter to this girl. And the teacher caught us.
Uh-oh.
Then we had to read the letter class to class. And there was nothing in that letter. It was the letter was just saying, meet you after school. I'll carry your books. And, you know, those were the things that we used to do. But, yeah, I started very early.
But there must have been other girls who thought, this guy's a romantic. He'll need to carry her books. This is the kind of guy I want in my life.
Even now.
It was marketing.
Yeah, you know, it was a strategy then. And it was not too much like we do now. Now you're supposed to buy them airtime. You're supposed to fix their hair. You're supposed to buy them shoes. Those days you'd carry books.
Sure.
And you log the street, chat, throw each other with stones and that's it. And, well, I started early because I had my first child when I was 19, you know, and so it was a little bit of a mess.
Mm.
And then I realized, no, actually, now I have kids. I mean, I'm a grandfather now, and my kids have to see this example. I didn't allow them to read this book until a month ago.
Oh,
the book is a year old.
What was their reaction?
Yeah. The second, the last born, which is doing, she's doing graphic designing at some university in Pretoria. Mm-hmm. She said, now I understand why mom was saying all these things about you. But what I see now is a father that I would love and cherish for the rest of my life. I don't care what happened then, but at least I have an understanding of why you did what you did then.
That must have felt good.
It felt good.
Because she's forgiving you, but she's also saying, you're my dad, and now I understand your story.
As a father, I'm having a challenge with my firstborn child. My wife is trying to make us talk to have a relationship. We do. But she always refers that, you know what, probably maybe you're supposed to be married to my mother. Why did you leave her? Now she's carrying the pain.
Uh-huh.
When I see her, I always have to explain my actions.
Mm.
But I'm trying. You know, as a, I don't know if I can use the word, as a black man, you know, we've got a child here, a child there, a child there. It's so difficult. And it's kind of difficult to show them love at the same time or the same love, all of them, because they have different, views about you. They have different perspectives about you. When they look at you, these other two, they see a father. This one sees a man that left my mother.
Do you think it's harder? I mean, clearly in this country, just by virtue of the fact that most of our population is black and there are a lot of fatherless families. And the father relationship to a lot of the kids is very strained. I mean, it's historical. You know, there was migrant labor. There are a whole lot of other things that come into it. But this is really another burden for the black man. It's because it seems to affect black people disproportionately more than it does white people. And again, it could have something to do with the political difficulties of the past. It could also have to do with traditional values around how, you know, society used to be very patriarchal even before the white man came along and made it even more complicated. And maybe the relationship of fathers in families was always secondary.
Because our fathers were not there.
Yeah.
I met my father when I was 26. And actually, I had to go out myself to look for him.
Tell me that story, because that's part of your book as well.
My mother told me that actually my father died a long time ago. And I was brought up by my grandmother. So my grandmother didn't want to talk about my father's story. And one day I was sitting with my mother. I think I was 26. And then my aunt from my mother's side was visiting my mother. And I didn't know this lady. And this lady, she said, you look like your dad. I said, my dad? You know my dad? I said, yeah, I was with him a few months ago. I was like, sorry? And then my mother was shocked.
You thought he was dead?
Yeah, my mother was shocked that the story is coming out. And then this lady told me that, no, your dad is alive. Here is his number. You can go and see him anytime. The following day, I left Pretoria. I went to Bethal looking for my father. And then when I reached Bethal, my father is known. And then I got there. And then by his house, I meet this lady. Actually, the lady is my younger sister. And they said, no, my dad is at the shop. Go and see him at the shop. I went to the shop. When I went into the shop, my father's wife saw me first. And then she went, sure, my dad's name is Sanyana. This is your child. This one, he looks like you. I think my dad nearly had a heart attack.
What did you think? How did you feel when you first saw him?
I was shocked. I saw this man was looking like me. But I was excited at the same time because I didn't have a father figure in my life. The only person that I could see was my drunk uncle who was always beating us and stuff like that. And my grandmother who was very strict but loving. Actually, I used to call my grandmother my mother because she's the one who brought me up. And I learned a lot of things from her. And when I saw my father, I was like excited. This guy is looking like me. And he's excited to see me. And he's saying to me, I've been looking for you all these years and your mother never told me about you. And then I'm telling him my version that, no, Mina, I know that you are dead. You died a long time ago.
Yeah.
Then we celebrated. I was there on Thursday.
So you weren't angry already? You weren't like, you just abandoned us?
Actually, I didn't have that. You know, I didn't have that in mind because I was excited that, you know what, there's this man, there's my father. But when time progressed, I was angry because now he wanted to take me to the initiation school.
Suddenly he wants to be in charge of your life.
Yes. And now I'm a father to someone else. I'm old. And, you know, you go to initiation school when you're about 16, 17.
Yeah, you're going to be the oldest guy there by 10 years.
27-year-old man. I mean, really. You know. But I had to do it secretly. I went there without any people knowing because I was already known then. And then I went to the initiation school. But we started having a relationship.
Okay.
I'll visit my father. I'll talk to him. And I remember in the few years before he passed, he came and stayed with me because he was very sick. And the hospital in Bethal was not good. And then we had to bring him to Pretoria, Steve Biko Hospital. And then that's when he passed on, 2015.
Before he died, did he fill a gap in your life?
Yeah, he did. I learned a lot from my father in that short space of time.
Even though it was only a few years and you only met him at 26?
I learned a lot from my father. My father is this guy in a village, the guy that they will call when they want to do lobola negotiation. He's an expert. They will call him. When they've got family dispute, they will call him. So I learned a lot from him. And from there, I realized actually that he's the best thing that I could ask for. But I learned that actually we are 20 kids from him. I'm number 16.
Wow. He was a busy man.
Yeah, I'm number 16. We are 20 kids.
But I mean, you've made up for that by having at least 20 women since.
Yeah, well, sometimes my mother, when my mother looks at me, she'd go like, Wena, you look like your father. You behave as like your father. But I'm now having about 18 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Because two passed on. So we usually meet, you know, we talk and, you know, and the funny part is that when I got a role on Scandal, they gave me a surname. Actually, that's my real surname, Mahlangu.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So did you ask for that or they just...
No, I didn't ask for it. That's when I got the role, my surname was there. So when people call me, actually, I don't respond to Mbela, I respond to Mahlangu because actually that's my...
Mbela was your mother's surname.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now my grandmother was angry before she passed on. She said, I must never change the Mbele surname.
What do you think the solution is to this situation in South Africa with fathers? Because in your case, he came into your life eventually and he made a difference. Like it's clear to me hearing your story now, yeah. It meant a lot to you to have him, even if he wasn't perfect. And you kind of forgave him because life isn't easy.
And he didn't give me any money or anything. It was fun to sit with him to learn from him. When he was talking, I could learn, you know what, this man could have been.
Did you ever have to give him money?
Yeah, I did.
I did
because when he passed on, the family came to me and said, sure. You are supposed to buy the car.
You're going to pay. Yeah,
you supposed.
Right.
And I was like,
you're like,
sure.
What are you kidding? This guy was in my life for the last 3-4 years. It's
exactly.
All I had.
And I said, okay. You know, but now the funny part is that now when they do things, they consult me. They call me and said, you know what?
So you're almost like the patriarch.
Exactly. But, you know, to South Africa, I'm saying to all the fathers, let's try and reach out.
Yeah.
Let's not allow our kids to go to Utatago or Kumbuleka to look for us.
Right.
Go out there. You know who you slept with. You know who you made a child with. Let's go out there and look for these children. They are not asking for money. These children, they want, you know, my daughter would call me and said, I just wanted to hear your voice.
Mm.
And I'm okay. If you're around, can you pass by just to say hi? So that my friends could see that, oh, this is your father. Because when I go to functions, others will bring their fathers. I know you're busy and I know you're not full time in my life. But just pop in and just say hi. That's all that they're asking for. They don't want us to give them money. They don't want us to buy them stuff unless, as a man, you know that that's your responsibility, that you need to buy these things for your kids. You need to help. And maybe at some point you'll find that your ex or the mother of your child is married. Try and have a meeting with the family to say, you know what, I don't want to interfere in your life or in your marriage. I just want a relationship with my child, and that's it.
I feel a lot of the women who take on all this responsibility, who are almost solely responsible very often for raising those children, that sometimes they also, and they deserve to feel any way they feel.
Yeah.
They've chosen to feel that way too, and it's their prerogative. But I sometimes feel like there's a bitterness that doesn't allow them to let that man back into their lives. And even though it's appropriate for them because they've been abandoned.
Yeah.
Sometimes for the child, there's a need.
Exactly. You know, that's what I would say because my wife has a child with this man. But I would say to her, that's my rule. The boy is 21. Let there be communication between the boy and the father.
Yes.
Not you. It has nothing to do with you. I don't want this guy to be calling you. Because at some point, we're interfering too much in people's life and we ended up confusing. You know, people get easily confused. We ended up confusing. Maybe this guy wants to come back. Or maybe this guy now, you know, he wants a relationship with me. The relationship should be with the child.
Yeah. But we're useless primates. We can't help it. We fall in love. We fall out of love. We get turned on.
Exactly.
We do stupid things.
Stupid things. And,
right.
Yeah. And there's also the baby daddy drama. There's not only a baby mama drama.
Oh, sure.
It's not always the baby mama drama.
And whether that's evolved as a coping mechanism for women or not, it's a different story.
It's a different story.
But there is this problem.
There is this problem.
And there are women who look at men, and we've got to be honest about this, like we have to be about how men are responsible for all the problems in society. But there are women who look at men as a ATM.
Exactly. And they go like, Your child wants this. Your child.
Meanwhile, it's for them.
Exactly. And that is why I said to my daughter, you know what? I'd rather pay for your school directly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not giving it to your mother.
Yeah, I'm not giving it to your mother. I'd rather give me the invoice and then I'll pay the school.
Right.
And then I said to her, you know what? Since I'm in business, you are a graphic designer and you're still at school. I'll get business for you.
Right.
I'll get you to design stuff for people. And then when they pay you, that's the kind of money that you can use. But I'll also give you a subsidy. I'll give you something if I have. But I have a rule. I'm saying to my kids, don't call me if you need money or if you need help. Rather call my wife. My wife will come to me and said, you know, Mandisa called and then she said she doesn't have shoes.
Mm.
What do you think? What must we do? And then I'd ask and said, you know what? Maybe let's buy the shoes. She'll be the one going out with them to buy the shoes.
So you're giving her a lot of the power and making, because you've got to prioritize your relationship with
her. I don't want her to come back to me and said, yeah, you're spending too much time with your kids. It means you're seeing their mother.
That's smart.
You see. So I'd rather say, let's build relationships with our kids, but have this communication with the parents or the husband when they are married and say, you know what? I respect you, man. I don't want to come into your life and mess up your marriage because you're married to my ex. But all I want is to just have this relationship with my daughter and that's it.
Is it very difficult leaving the old you behind?
Sure, correct.
I don't judge. I really don't. I think, like I said earlier, there's some stuff that we are programmed by nature to feel and to behave with or against.
It's very difficult.
I'm sure.
No, it is difficult. But I'm content with what I have.
Especially when you do television and radio like you have. Because these women will throw themselves at you.
I'm content with what I have. And my wife is my support structure. That's what I use to defend myself, actually.
Yeah.
But bottom line is that, you know, I've got so much following on Facebook and I'm always giving advice and to people and I'm trying to live as I preach. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and how important is religion, spirituality, faith in all of this?
It is important. I believe that we should always ask for wisdom from God and pray about our issues. We can get advices from people, but it doesn't mean that the advices are correct or it doesn't mean that we have to take them.
Mm.
But sometimes we need to ask God for wisdom and guidance. So I usually use my religion, my faith to guide me. And I go to church for spiritual fulfillment. And obviously to meet my friends as well. But it is important. For me, I always say to people when they have problems, try and sort them out, but pray at the same time and ask for wisdom. Sometimes the answers are in our face.
Mm.
It's just that we want someone to confirm them. And I believe that God can confirm everything.
Are there any kids that we don't know about? Do you think there might be, like, your father had? Do you think there might be somewhere in the past? He's going through the women in his head right now, everybody. No.
I
he's thinking, which one haven't I heard from a long time?
Not that I know of. Unless, but I do have, and then someone didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Not that I know of.
I think you're a very brave man too.
But someone someday once approached me and said, yo, I've seen this child. He looks like you. And
Father's Day is frightening, right? You never know.
Very.
Yeah. Well, Father's Day is the time that we decided would be appropriate to talk to you because you've got the book, the existing book, a national bestseller, Take It From Me, and the new book, which is called What's Your Problem? Which I love. It's beautiful. Sipombele, thank you very much for coming to talk to us, man.
Thank you very much, Gareth, for having me. And I would like to say, Pastor Art Boshoff of the CRC likes to say his slogan is, male by birth, men by choice.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's my motto.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Garrett.
All right. See her on the piano on the way out there. Nice touch, Sia. You can catch that interview with Sipombele and all of the rest of Gareth's Father's Day tribute / series of content there, all on cliffcentral.com. Gareth will be back in person tomorrow from 6 a.m. South African time.
They'll
be
in person?
On Skype.
Line. Oh,
online.
Okay. There we go.
Well, we're all technically not in person. You could just get our voices. So, yeah, that's all we got, really. Yeah.
It's too early for mindfuck, please. Thank you. I get you, though.
Well, I don't know. Help us out after what we've already covered during today. I think we're open for anything. Why are you dressed so smart today? I know this is whenever you look all so rajaja, there's definitely something on the go, right?
Firstly, 5 brownie points for using the term rajaja. Secondly, have a couple of meetings and an event to go to. So, you know, gotta look spiffy.
Okay. Is this other event that you're hosting and inspiring young people?
No, not one of those, actually. This is like a let your hair down type of situation. But this makes me think, like, you guys just probably look at me every day and go, ugh, what is he doing? Ugh. But then days like this when I actually make an effort.
Oh, not at all. Mabelle and I are the least judgmental people ever.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to iron that out.
I basically am just material on skin most days.
I look disheveled at best on a daily basis. I walk in here. I might as well be like some random bag lady.
Oh, shame.
No, you by far look the best of all of us in this room. Honest,
yeah. I wasn't fishing for backhanded compliments, but I appreciate the compliments.
But speaking of bag ladies, I heard Madonna's got a new lover.
Oh yes, Madonna.
She's
58.
58.
Okay. She is 58.
She's actually still kind of young because Donald, I always go back to Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. He's 73. So if you're younger than Donald, you're still in the game.
Right. Now, Madonna has reportedly dumped her boyfriend of more than a year and traded him in for an older man. But because it is Madonna that we're talking about here, he isn't that much older. The ex-boyfriend was 26-year-old Abubakar Somahoro, a model for, where's he from? I'm just trying to find his native Oland. From the Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire, 26 years old. He's no longer in the picture, but her new boyfriend, allegedly, is all of 27 years old. So you see Madonna just taking the age thing up there by 1 year.
And from what exotic location does this new one reign from?
He's from Portugal.
Oh, okay. Well, damn, Madonna, just do whatever you like.
Yes.
Do whatever the hell you want. So the issue with the ex-boyfriend, apparently the model from the Ivory Coast, was he became very close with Madonna's children. And then apparently that started causing friction for the family.
Oh.
Yeah. I guess he got a little bit too close to the point where Madonna felt that he was, you know, overstepping his boundaries or whatever it is. And it is 6 children that we're talking about. Cause, you know, Madonna 6. Has her biological child, Rocco, the 16-year-old that she had with Guy Ritchie, mm-hmm. who you remember last year, they went through that horrible spat where Rocco no longer wanted to live with Madonna. So he wanted to stay with Guy Ritchie and it was a whole thing in the media. So that must have been a stress factor as well. And then she's also got the, twins that she adopted from Malawi. Mm-hmm. David Banda and who's the sister again? Mercy.
David and Mercy are slightly older. They were adopted individually. Then most recently, most recently Madonna also adopted twins from Malawi.
There you go.
Yeah.
How is it that she's got such a adventurous kind of love life with 6 kids? Obviously, she probably has 6 nannies, right?
Well,
I don't even think nannies.
I mean, she's
higher...
so rich. She probably has Fran Drescher look after the kids just for shits and giggles.
See what I mean? Like net worth of $580 million. Of course, good on you. My only thing with Madonna is I wish or I hope for her case she's enjoying her life and she doesn't have to work hard. Like when you've had such a career and so much money, I would stop releasing new music. I would be country hopping every single week or second week. I'd be swapping them little boys like a revolving door.
Well, that's what she's doing.
And I would then just go on a, you know, do a concert or 5 concerts, you know, once every 3 years. She doesn't need to work hard.
Look, she can do whatever she wants. And maybe if she does feel like dropping an album here or there, she will, because she can do whatever she wants. So previously, you know, she was tied to much older lovers. I already mentioned Guy Ritchie, who she was married to. Then there was Sean Penn, all of 56-year-old. Warren Beatty even got in on that action.
Didn't have kids with Sean Penn, did she?
No.
No.
Okay. Wouldn't it be good looking kids?
I wish they'd get back together, actually.
Her and Sean Penn?
Yeah.
No, he's far too old for her, because these days, as you say, she's, you know, she's got a revolving door of youngsters basically going in and out of her home.
Yeah.
26-year-old dancer and choreographer Timor Stevens. Then there was 23-year-old dancer Brahim Zaibat.
23,
honey. Then there was the 26-year-old model from the Ivory Coast that I told you about. And now most recently, this 26-year-old who we don't really know much about.
Do you know? So this,
it's kind of like a phase as well. You know, she's going through, you know, sometimes you think you feel like having ice cream and then you have ice cream for a while. And then you get sick of the ice cream and then you change it up to chocolate. And then you change it up to, I don't know, crackers.
Yes.
She's going through like a young man phase.
So this current boyfriend is a model. And Kevin also is a twin.
Oh.
So are you thinking what I'm thinking? With Madonna being a bit of a freaky dicky little
threesome
woman.
Threesome all day, every day. A threesome all day, every day. With a set of twins.
Cause bitch, she's Madonna, like her song says.
Yeah, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Like, you watch some of her, like, recent music videos. It's exactly what it is. Everything you just said now, she's like, yeah, because I can.
Yeah, because I can.
You got to admire that.
See, but she's competing with the young kids, and there's no way she can compete with them.
She's got Chris Rock in a music video saying, bitch, I'm Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
Good for her.
No, that was a music video with Katy Perry and so many other people. You know, celebrity cameos. Just for no reason, like... Dude, best, if I was Madonna right now, you wouldn't even be able to find my GPS coordinates. I'd be on a yacht somewhere with 12 more of these Kevin Carbon copies. Like.
But it's also like what you do with celebrity, I think does mirror your personality. Because a lot of celebrities will just burn out, right? She's having fun. Like, see, to your point, as long as she's having fun, this woman is having the time of her life.
Yeah.
She went through some tough times in her 20s. You know, and then she was in this leotard. Remember this?
Oh, gosh, the leotard phase.
That was my... Oh, my gosh, the purple one, and she's dancing on the floor. Yes.
Firstly, she's got an ABBA sample here. That's when you know you've made it. You can sample ABBA. The greatest pop group of all time, by the way.
Oh.
This is the Madonna that I know.
Wow, okay, look. This just looks I know there's no visuals to go with this, but this woman has been working out forever to do the things that she can do. And you know she's been sleeping with all these guys doing parkour too. While the director said cut, she was like, you. Trailer, now. And he's like, bitch, you're Madonna, I'm there. I'm there. You don't question it.
Do you know what I love about her dance moves though? Some of the dance moves are so unnecessary, but they're just to show off that she can still stretch and kick it and hit it.
She basically does standing splits. I don't know a lot of 58-year-olds, but the ones that I do know don't just do a random standing split.
Yeah. Like I've never found Madonna attractive. I've just never had anything for blondes, but I mean, it's just, you got to admire everything about this woman, actually.
Yeah.
Everything.
Look, my dad is also 58, and he now has to drive with a hot water bottle on his back. So, levels right now.
Oh,
levels.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, Sia, just what, because he gets the stuff back? Or?
Yeah, so literally puts it on the small of his back, you know, just resting on the
that
seat.
Sounds comfy. That sounds comfy and cozy.
And then meanwhile, Madonna's probably swinging on chandeliers with her new toy boy. That song just takes me back to primary school, though. That was like my jam back then.
So yeah.
Just your jam, I guess.
Going around down the corridor, playing around with that song.
Oh, remember earlier I told you Andy Murray got knocked out in the first round of that tournament?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he made this big pledge yesterday that he was going to donate all his prize winnings to the London Fire disaster.
Okay. Oh.
So he's kind of not really made any money.
Awkward.
Because he's won this tournament 5 times already, so he thought he'd be pretty confident. If he was to defend his title this year, he would have won £347,000. which is a decent amount of money to go towards a cause. But now that he's been knocked out in the first round, people are going to kind of think, well, Andy, you're kind of rich. I'm pretty sure you can still donate £347,000. Pressure.
Should she, though? I mean, he.
Well, that's just it. This is like this whole thing of public expectation, right?
Yeah.
We saw that with the whole insurance thing. People demand certain things out of people in the public eye.
Yep.
So if Andy was looking to get all the high fives for this magnanimous sort of thing, yeah, like if you hit him, you got to do it. Otherwise, no one's going to cheer for you in Wimbledon. See, Andy, the problem is, deep down, you're still a ginger from Scotland. And people will not forget this if you ever fall foul of public favor.
And if you can't make them happy, they will use that against you, Andy, because that's just the way people are.
Yep. See, I don't care if you've won the titles and Olympic golds. These people are fickle, Andy. Mm-hmm. Just take it from me. We got your back on the show. You know we do.
So here's a story that I actually like makes me laugh and I kind of feel bad about. So, time is rough as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, life just in general is also rough. So there's a 70-year-old in Kansas in America who was so sick of his wife that he wanted to get away. And evidently he saw no other fitting option to get away from his wife than to get himself arrested.
Oh, come
says at
on.
7 years old, I'm just done with all of this. Like, ugh, need to get away with her. I'm going to commit a crime to go to prison so that I'm at least like done and away from her.
Oh,
so he must have been violent towards him in the past. Because how do you? Wow, that's an extreme step.
Yes, it is.
His name is Lawrence John Ripple. He's 70 years old. So he decided, cool, what crime should I commit? I'm going to rob a bank. He walked into the Bank of Labor, which is just down the street from police headquarters in Kansas City. So, I mean, hello, like, it's also a great location to quickly get wrapped up and go to prison. He went in with a note demanding money and that he had a gun. So the teller who freaked out just handed him over some cash, which is like about some 2,000 and some change dollars. So that's not even a lot of money. But regardless, that wasn't his intention, right? As soon as he got that money, as if that wasn't enough, he then walked over to security and said, call the police, I've just stolen some money from the bank. And he sat on a bench.
Oh, so he had no intention of getting away with this crime?
No, he didn't care about the crime. He just wanted to go to jail to get away from the wife. Wow. And he sat on the bench, waited for the police to come by and arrest him. But here's the kicker. The kicker is when he was finally arrested, he was actually charged with 6 months house arrest.
Oh,
because
no.
So he should have tried to keep the money and then get bussed further down the line.
Oh my gosh.
Because authorities just said, dude, you have mental health issues, so you need to be supervised in a close confinement. Oh, so your wife will look after you for 6 months.
But this is what got him into the bank wanting to commit a crime. These people are stupid.
Oh my gosh, that is too funny. That sounds like the opening of like what could be a great comical movie.
Oh man, I feel so bad for you, Mr. Ripple. Like, life is tough, you just want to get away. You're 70 years old, you're just like, ugh, is it worth going through divorce? And then we have to separate things, and then we need lawyers. Safest, quickest option, let me go to prison.
Because you would think at the age of 70, I mean, I don't know how tough the prison is around his neighborhood. I'm guessing it's not so bad. But at 70, you're not really going to be like harmed. People will kind of leave you alone, I guess. Yeah. It could actually be a real master plan.
You know, you don't care about like joining gangs.
Yeah, you'd be like the old guy. Everyone sort of leaves alone.
Yeah, you just want to go there, be able to sleep for the whole day. I wonder what the wife really does. This is one extreme way to get out of him.
If she was a bit cranky and hard to live with before,
imagine
the fact that he did this, because of that, she is going to be unplayable now.
Wow. Shame. Yeah.
We actually have a follow-up on this guy.
I'd love to just...
It'd be so great to get these kind of guys in the line.
I think he actually needs a hug more than anything, first and foremost.
You need to chat with us. But like this whole thing when you get old, right? So now your friends at that age, your friends are either dead or
senile.
Just as sad as you, or senile. Mm. Exactly. Or in a home, right?
Yeah.
So you take away that, you're old, so you're pretty frail, so you can't play sports or anything like that. So you've got so little to actually live for.
Mm. Oh, it's so...
I don't mean to be a downer, but... when you really break it down, the story actually isn't so bizarre. It's more like, well, what else is he going to do?
Yeah, actually.
What TV shows would appeal to him now?
And at that age, you really don't care about it. You know, you've worked your entire life. You don't care about a criminal record. Like, that doesn't change anything.
It's like he's going to worry about his employment now. Oh, no. I can't do this. I won't get a job. Oh, wait, I've stopped working.
Yeah, aging is a terrible process.
This is why Madonna's on the right track.
Oh, yeah, she's...
And because, like, let's be honest, because she has money as well, even in her 80s, she'll probably be hanging out with 50-year-old guys because she has the money.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. You might be onto something.
Madonna will hang out with 20-something guys until she literally cannot draw another breath. She's found her marker in life, and that's it.
Yep.
Between now and 80, she's not going to change mentally.
No, and she shouldn't. Because why? But she's Madonna. That's the truth.
Does anyone know who the rapper Prodigy is?
I heard that he passed away.
Yeah, I was trying to gauge if this is a big story or not.
I think he's like a 90s legend.
Right, okay. That's probably why I didn't recognize him. Okay, we'll skip that one.
Yeah, but granted, I'm the one who was born in mid-90s, so I have no cooking clue anything about that. But also, just as we recap some quick stories as well, Sandton came to a standstill yesterday. Did you guys hear about the story of the shooting?
In Sandton City? The mall?
No, well, Sandton, the area here in Johannesburg, South Africa. Well, a man was shot and killed on Bowling Avenue in Sandton and had closed off the road there. But the victim is believed to be in his 40s, and he was driving a Bentley and was earlier spotted from the bank, and so these gunmen followed him from the bank and shot him in the middle of the road, and that's how, you know, he was found with several gunshot wounds and also gunshots to the car as well. And so police are still searching for those alleged shooters.
That sounds like a mafia style mob hit.
It's so bizarre. And it's very, very frightening, I have to say.
Is there any details about money being taken or found at the scene?
Money was still found on the scene, so they ran off without the money as well. Like, for such a public, you know, crime, you would at least have cornered him in the parking lot of the bank,
yeah,
or you would have followed him home or to his office or whatever the case is, right in the heart of Johannesburg business, right in Sandton. How did you think it was going to end up? Like, that is stupid beyond belief.
Well, maybe it was just a straight out hit. You know, these things happen.
I don't know. Yay. Do you also just want to go down the role of crime, since we are sort of talking about it? My brother, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, you spoke about Nick Gordon, Bobby Christina's former boyfriend,
who lived
and grew up in the Houston household.
Right, he was arrested again on charges of assaulting his current girlfriend.
Yes, so more details have been revealed regarding that. And it actually has also come to light that Nick had a series and a history of abuse with this girlfriend of his, Laura Leal, dating back to even 2 weeks prior to this particular incident that took place, which led to his arrest. But 2 weeks before that, they had a sort of a scuffle situation, and he threw or broke her cell phone. So for 2 weeks, Laura was going around without a cell phone, but that shows abuse, you know? And so often, like, Nick Gordon would punch her in the head, and she says, like, she was worried she would go blind. On one occasion, Gordon actually choked her until she vomited. And, like, for me, when I hear something like this, I go, but honey, really, you are the victim, and I totally get that. But what was going to be the final straw for you? You know, when someone punches you in the head, when someone chokes
such a good point.
You, what was going to be the wake-up call for you? When were you going to say, enough is enough, I actually need to do something?
Look, it's one of those difficult conversations that very quickly erupt into a disagreement because the counter argument to that is the woman saying, oh, but you people don't understand how difficult it is to leave. But at end of the day, you have two choices to make. Are you going to stay or are you going to leave? Making either choice comes with its own set of consequences, which you will have to deal with.
Mm. And we all believe people will change for the better. That's ingrained in us, unfortunately, even though the signs aren't there. Because if we leave, we believe if they leave, then it'll get worse because then they'll come after you. If we stay, maybe things will get better and then it'll be okay.
See, I believe in being drunk in love. I believe in following your heart. But I always say following your heart doesn't mean you leave your brain behind. You know, and you can hope for the best and you see a future with this person. But when it's abuse and more so like physical, like you feel it, you almost die, you still stick it out. So the reason why I brought up the cell phone situation is because 2 weeks later when the actual incident happened, they were at a sports bar and they had some sort of a disagreement or scuffle there. And when they came back home, Nick started getting physical with Laura, and like she was trying to run around the house and darting him and trying to call authorities, but she couldn't because she hadn't had a phone. Sidebar, isn't it weird that in the 21st century, someone would wait more than 2 weeks to get a new cell phone? Like, don't you, if you lose a phone, you get it out the weekend of? Anyway, yep. Let's not judge, just a sidebar. So she was running around trying to call authorities, but she couldn't because she had no phone. So she went onto her laptop to contact her sisters through Facebook. And that's when Nick grabbed hold of the laptop and threw it against a wall. So she wasn't able to do that. An altercation ensued. But the saving grace was Nick Gordon's mother, who now lives with him. Which is also, this story has so many bizarre, odd layers to me because.
Is he still in custody? In police custody?
Right now?
Yeah.
He's been released on $15,000 bail.
Now, you have to hope in this situation that she doesn't recant the charges. She must follow mm-hmm. through with the charges that he's now facing. Because that is the other problem in these equations is when the victim then decides that, okay, I'm going to withdraw the charges that I laid against you, which then just further reinforces the bad behavior, which contributes to the situation possibly getting worse.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a mess.
The reason why I think it might go to that extent is because, you know, she put up with so much abuse for so long, where she might at this point feel like, oh no, well, I didn't want to. Oh no, well, I feel bad for him. It was just a mistake. He's learned his lesson. Meanwhile, it really isn't. But do you remember the reason why Nick Gordon grew up with the Houstons was because there was some odd relationship or family dynamics? And why is he now sitting, living with his mother? But anyway, it's all bizarre. I just wish all of them the best, really. Like, grow up, shape up, you know.
Yeah, on the WhatsApp. Someone's very upset with me, just like that. Skip the legendary Prodigy. He was part of the iconic rap duo, Mobb Deep.
Yes, you see, the thing about life is that all of us get exposed to different events, different people, different yes. genres, different everything. So, okay, he was a legend to you, but like, for some of us, he didn't really feature in our lives.
Mobb Deep.
Well, I know the name Mobb Deep.
Yeah, but we didn't know the name Prodigy.
No.
So.
Well, it was a duo, okay?
Yo,
who's that?
Yo, we gotta get this loot up. World is born, son.
So 90s again, there's intros. Mm.
To all the killers and the $100 billers.
Throwing dice. For real, because who ain't got no feelings. Feelings. Reminds me of that movie Boys in the Hood. That was a good movie. Wow. Check it out now. Okay. See, I like this guy. He's driving a shitty car, but he's balling in it though, okay? So yeah, I got new respect. Mobb Deep, that's the.
Oh, is that what?
It looks like he stole his mother's car. Like, it's just so not, like nowadays, you'll see some guy in a Bentley, which is leasing for the day. This dude's straight up in his mom's car.
They say they don't know what the cause of death was just yet, but apparently he was out in Las Vegas on tour and he just kicked the bucket.
Oh, so he's still working as well.
He was on tour and allegedly he'd had health problems throughout his life anyway, so but as far as I am trying to find here online, very little information available with regards to cause of death.
against my teammate. I guarantee you it'll be your very last time breathing. Your simple words just don't move.
Love this car, seriously.
Oh, it's the car you love, not the song.
I love this music.
It's like, you see.
It's like a real shitty car. It's like got one of those like fluffy, shaggy interiors that your mom obviously picked out of the hardware store.
Some plush sort of something on the dashboard.
Great.
Michelle's, what is it, like dice hanging from the mirror?
No, there's no dice. No, he's not a cliche. See, this guy was an artist.
Oh, sorry. Well, that's the only reason why I feel like could have been in the hood, Black America.
Michelle said that when she went to Israel, she saw Madonna live, and to this day, she said it was the best ever, ever concert. Best ever.
Mm.
And then, and KVN, she says, aging is fun, no responsibilities, and we have access to drugs. We don't give a shit about anything. Hey. Party, party, party. Mm. Yeah, damn right, Anne. Good on you.
Silver lining. Yeah, you but do you have access to
depends
drugs.
Depends on the drugs,
you
though,
look
really.
Uglier by the day. You get grumpy.
I mean, that's exactly what Carrie Fisher was saying.
You become lonely.
She was partying with
people
Anne.
People don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Carrie Fisher was partying with Anne, and then one of them did heroin, and one of them's not with us anymore.
Well, heroin,
well, there we go.
MDMA, and all sorts of other stuff that were found in a bloodstream.
Right, so that's no. That's Wednesday. It's been a week without Gareth so far, but he will be back on the phone lines with us tomorrow, Thursday morning. He's going to Amsterdam for a couple of days, so things will get a bit spicier in the story department. Like I said, on social media, just bait him, but like really pressure him into like doing crazy stuff so that when we talk to him tomorrow, he'll be in like a bit of a state. Well, we got the power. Screw the social media blackout. Make Gareth do weird things. That's maybe that's not a great hashtag, but you know I'm going with this.
By the way, I mean, the irony of it all is that social media blackout is still trending at number one. But why is it trending?
Exactly. How are you trending, guys?
Thank you. There you go.
All right, the wrap's up for today. We've got, frankly speaking, the guys are coming in next with no doubt a very captivating and controversial topic, perhaps. Sia, I will see you tomorrow. Good luck with your meeting.
Thank you.
I'm sure it'll be great. Amanda, Palesa, Mabali, everyone, thank you so much. Frank speaking, guys, up next. To take you into that, if you're listening live, well, bit of Michael Jackson, because you deserve it.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, the song's not... Yeah, Michael Jackson. Will You Be There? Which is also a Conception song. Will You Be There After the Birth?
Oh, yes, of course.
That's why Michael was going with this.
Right.
Joe wrote the lyrics, Mabali.
Hold me like the River Jordan, and I will then say to thee.
CliffCentral.com.